low flying chopper. That's what it is.
Wouldn't it be fun to ride it? Well, I'm asking the wrong person. You've ridden.
I spent many years in chopper four.
As the words were coming out of my mouth, I realized
it'd be just a lovely little jaunt for Vince.
Yeah, yawn.
Well, never at 200 feet around downtown. I mean that's a different way to see the city. Yeah. No, considerably higher over downtown. Sometimes lower than we want it to be. Not want it to be, but well, for those who know, you know.
Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee, this is Wisconsin's Morning News. Here's Eric Bilstad and Vince Petrano.
Just about 13 minutes after 8 on this Wednesday morning. A couple of stories that caught our eye that have that are related to the value of companies. And one is a company that is skyrocketing in popularity, as is its product. And then one is,
and then the other
is a manufactured sort of new reality for a local company. Let's start there, and then we'll get into the beer. Today, stock in Milwaukee-based headphone maker Koss is trading at just under $10 a share. It's down from a high point last week where it topped $18. What's interesting about this, despite being a company that we know well, Eric and I, we both have probably multiple sets of Koss headphones.
Sure.
This is the headphone maker. You see their big billboards if you're driving northbound on I-43 right near their company. They're off of Silver Spring Drive and what is that, like Port Road?
Yep.
They're in Milwaukee. It's near the Home Depot.
Yes.
But they always have a big billboard up and they're usually pretty
right,
creative and
right
cool
near
looking,
the Home
right?
Depot, yep.
So here's the thing with Koss. The stock doesn't belong at $10, much less at $18 a share. What does that mean? I know probably less about the markets than most people. But, you know, a stock is worth, I guess, whatever people are willing to pay for.
Sure, of course.
However, traditionally, like, you know, over the last year, Koss trades in the area of $3 to $6 a share. So how did it get up to 18? How is it even now still at just under 10? It skyrocketed last week based on internet-fueled speculation and a guy online who goes by the name The Roaring Kitty. Which
go.
Is another reason we're doing the story, because I just like
the name. The moniker is fun.
So, Koss, for whatever reason, has become one of these so-called meme stocks. You've had others. GameStop was among them.
Yep.
It's the movie company. AMC
yep.
was among them.
A couple of years ago. When they
yeah. Stocks that are valued in maybe $1, $2, $3, low value there, and then skyrocket in value as people buy and buy and buy. Day traders pump up the price of these stocks well beyond what's probably legitimate value. So I talked with Annex Wealth Management CEO Dave Spano about how this phenomenon works.
Well, what happened with Koss this past week is the famous guy who does this, his nickname is the Roaring Kitty, and he just put a microphone with a backdrop of an American flag. So a lot of investors, these day traders, took that to mean that it's going to be Koss and he's going to buy it on July 4th. And there we went.
That's all it took. This picture or meme.
Come on.
That propelled speculation.
Just the hidden message?
Yes. And it was something that happened in May. And then folks were targeted on because of the American flag or whatever was in the background of this.
I mean,
that it must be Independence
Day. It could have been Flag Day.
Could have been anything. Right. It wasn't further clarified by the Roaring Kitty. But that sent the stock from, it was at about $4.50 a share, to more than $18 a share in a day. Now, again, today, it's somewhere in the neighborhood of $10. So just doing some math for you, you invest $1,000, gets you at $4.50 a share, about 220-some shares.
Mm-hmm.
You sell at $18, now you're at $4,000. You've made $3,000. So there's money to be made there.
Easy money, it sounds like.
Regardless of whether that is a sound investment. Spano again.
It's a form of gambling, in our opinion, because you have to have fundamentals. Whatever the company is, whatever widget company you want to buy into, do you have the sales, number one, and the profitability to support that stock? And, you know, Koss is a great company. We're glad they're a Milwaukee-based company, well-run. However, their sales and earnings don't represent the stock price that is put out there right now, Vince.
Dave Spano of Annex Wealth Management. He's the host of Money Talk here on WTMJ on Saturdays. You hear him then. So I like that he added, no issue with Koss. It's nothing that Koss is doing or not doing. It's just all these folks who, as Spano says, are treating the markets like a casino. How they found Koss, like why was it them
right,
and not somebody else?
So it's just that it's that much easier now to buy and sell and also to work off of an influencer?
Yeah, I suppose. You can day trade from your phone, right?
Yeah.
You get one of the apps and bing, bing, bing. Who's the one with the babies, right? Is that E-Trade or something?
Sure.
Right? The commercials?
Yep.
God, remember when that first started? And it was right around the Super Bowl when like every other commercial was a day trading commercial. Was a dot com. Right.
Yes.
So like anything, if you're trying to make a quick buck, you want to get in low and then sell high before the crash. We've seen this movie before, not just with Koss. Early 21, same type of thing happened with some of those other companies. Koss, in the case in 21, went all the way up to $64.
Yeah.
A stock that had been $2 to $3 a share went to $64 a share. Problem is, for folks who got in late, it plummeted back down to earth rather quickly. And then a lot of folks can be out of money. That's why it's a little bit dangerous and why Spano doesn't really like this for, you know, long-term investors.
I think it's harmful, Vince, because of the fact that people are going to go in and consider the stock market as a casino, and that's not what it is. It's a valuation method. It's a way that people, lots of Americans, are invested. For example, their 401k plans and their retirement plans. I would be remiss to say that it is a good long-term investing thesis. It really belongs in the more of a casino-type environment.
I don't know how, you know, could Koss capitalize on this in some way? Like, they've remained quiet. I don't remember hearing much from them in 21.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Nothing now. Like, I don't know if, you know, if there's regulation that's involved because it's stock price and things like that, but like, I don't know, like, can this not at least be a little good for Koss?
Well, that and the idea of everyone wearing headphones nowadays,
cool.
Can't that also be helpful?
Right. Your name's out there for whatever reason.
Right. And take advantage of that.
Yes.
Yeah, you're right. You think there might be ways, but then, you got to be careful regulation-wise. But
so that's the story behind that. Like I said, I didn't check yet this morning. I guess markets open at, 8:30 our time or thereabouts.
Better get moving on that one, though.
So, I don't know. Might still have some life in it.
Hey, so alcohol apparently isn't top of mind for all Americans. All eyes are not on alcohol. It appears there's a big push now for non-alcoholic beer. I don't know if you've ever heard of the Athletic Brewing or Athletic Brewing.
When you first told me about this, I thought you were talking about the publication, the sports.
I'm sorry. That's the Athletic. This is Athletic Brewing.
Okay.
Wall Street Journal reported that Athletic Brewing has completed a fresh financing round, so its value now is at $800 million. And that's surged significantly in the last 2 years with this young brewing company that produces, you know, a variety of different NA beers. And full disclosure, I have some. I have some Athletic in my little fridge right now. It's fine.
Why do you typically have NA beer?
Because
you don't, I mean... I have regular beer.
Regular beer, yeah. You know what? I think for me, it was just a matter of there's sometimes when it's on a nice sunny day on a patio at 5 o'clock in the afternoon, I just want to have a cold one, but don't always need to be putting alcohol in my body. Or I have something going on later and don't, again, feel like putting alcohol in my body.
But you want a beer.
Yeah. And it's okay. It's obviously, it's, you know, people who really like beer are going to say this is not the same at all, but it gets the point across, I guess, for me on a nice sunny day, you know,
right.
A nice summer day. Anyway, Gallup says that young U.S. adults, those between 18 and 34, are drinking far less alcohol. And then you have Ozempic and all these weight loss drugs that people are taking now, looking for healthier alternatives. You got the people wearing the wearables now. We're just talking about the new Galaxy Ring and whatnot. And low alcohol or non-alcoholic beverages now are prompting more and more of this type of interest. Plus, Athletic seems to be doing it right. The beer cans are, this is going to sound funny, but they look like real beer cans. It looks like you're drinking a craft beer. So for some, that's part of the game. You know, you actually just can blend in to others at a party and not feel like you're stigmatized.
It's interesting. You mentioned the cans. I've got a buddy who works for one of the major distributors here. And I play tennis with him, and, you know, he's like, I'll bring the beer for after, you know, whatever. And so he's got a cooler full of all sorts of different kinds of stuff. It looks like it's full of soda. Like, every one of these cans is decorated up like a kid drink.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying there's anything nefarious necessarily about that, but I look at that, I'm like, is this the beer cooler? He's like, oh, yeah, well, that's this kind of flavor and that kind of flavor. And I'm with you. I like beer-flavored beer. Okay? I don't need it to be... this, that, or the other thing. Give me a beer.
And I'm with you. Like, the Athletic does even offer like an IPA, and I'm like, I don't. If I need an IPA, I'll drink an alcoholic IPA. But they have options there, so it seems to be working enough where the value of that company has significantly surged over the last couple of years.
Well, let me know when they got alcohol-free whiskey.
We'll take a look at
that. We'll talk.
I can find that
somewhere. Maybe we won't even. 8:22 on Wisconsin's Morning News. A26 Wisconsin's Morning News. Text watch to 855-616-1620. Video element to our upcoming story.
Yeah.
You can just click on the watch now button on the 620 WTMJ app on our website, or you can watch us on YouTube anytime. A lot of folks talking about the low flying chopper over downtown.
Get to the chopper! Get to the chopper!
You gave a look up eye to the sky.
I did.
Were all
yesterday.
Eyes on
yes.
the chopper?
All eyes were looking up
you
in
didn't
Milwaukee.
See it?
I didn't spot it.
I didn't see it either.
I don't even know if I was looking at the right time, but I made it a point early afternoon to look around.
It's all over social media if you didn't see it with your own eyes, and producer Greg Hill has it up on the video live stream for you as well if you're watching along with us. So this is a helicopter flying under 200 feet in the air, which is and ought to be a rare sight over the metro area. If you're a savvy listener, you already knew what this is about because we told you about it on Tuesday.
Mm-hmm. What they're probably looking for is not a nuclear bomb. They're looking for a dispersal device, something that would be improvised by, you know, a radical or a terrorist organization.
I mean, that doesn't sound very comforting.
That's no.
Philip Humphreys, he's a retired CIA officer, talking about this helicopter for the National Nuclear Security Administration. And this is part of the security protocol for the RNC. Important to note, there is no specific threat to Milwaukee, no specific threat to the convention. This is what they do ahead of high-profile events. They use this at the Super Bowl, for example.
Sure.
I assume like a World Series or, you know, other big events, right, where you're going to have lots of people. It's high-profile. And Humphreys was talking there with TMJ4 News, said right now the chopper is getting a baseline. What does radiation on a normal day look like on our Milwaukee landscape?
There's always ground radiation. A number of things cause that. The Earth itself causes that. They're looking for unusual anomalies, spikes that says, hey, that's not normal.
So they get this baseline, and then during the convention and the days ahead and during the convention itself, they can monitor and look for any changes. So we know what's usually there, and then this pops up. What is this over here? I don't like this. Let's go look and investigate that.
A red flag or something.
Right. Retired CIA officer Philip Humphreys, scary as all of it sounds, he says, look, this would be something like a dirty bomb. So he's saying, look, we're not looking at a nation state planting a nuclear weapon that would wipe out Milwaukee, but, you know, could some terrorist organization have acquired some nuclear or radiation material
right.
that would be released in something like that? But he's seeking to reassure all of us.
You couldn't be any safer, probably, than in the convention center during the RNC.
So this chopper is going to be around again today, they believe, and perhaps even again tomorrow. So if you see that low-flying chopper, that's what it is.
Wouldn't it be fun to ride it? Well, I'm asking the wrong person. You've ridden
I spent many years in Chopper 4, yes.
As the words were coming out of my mouth, I realized
it'd be just a lovely little jaunt for Vince.
Yeah. Yawn.
Well, never at 200 feet around downtown. I mean that's a different way
cool.
to see the city.
Yeah.
No, we're considerably higher over downtown. Sometimes lower than we wanted to be. Not wanted to be, but, well, for those who know, you know.
Get to the chopper!
Wisconsin's Morning News, Vince Petrano, Eric Bilstead. Hey, wanted to make sure we pass this along, Vince. Sad to hear this when this the news broke on this, that Rob Edwards had passed away. Rob Edwards, a longtime host of WTMJ's Wisconsin's Morning News. He was also the PA announcer for the Brewers at what was then Miller Park for many years. 79 years old. And I worked with him. I don't know if you ever crossed paths with him.
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, I recall Rob being really nice to me.
Yeah.
When I was just some clown over there at Channel
right.
4, and he was big-time stuff.
Yeah, and he was. So the very beginning of my career here in Milwaukee, I worked with him briefly, and he could not have been nicer.
Yep, that's the guy.
just a gem and, like, you know, would give you advice and ask you questions and, like, actually was, like, legitimately curious about you, you know, and that type of thing, which, you know, like, at the time I probably didn't deserve, you know, being a, however old I was at that time. And then if you'd bump into him at Miller Park after he left TMJ and was just kind of doing the PA thing, like, again, we'd bump into him in the press box working a story or whatever, and he was always so happy to sit and chat with you and just always just such a genuinely good person. I was able to... About 10 years ago, when the Brewers were getting hot, did a fun little feature with them.
Ladies and gentlemen,
he's the voice of Miller Park.
The catcher, number 20, Jonathan Lucroy.
Brewers public address announcer, Rob Edwards. So you know the voice now. Anyone wondering?
Absolutely.
For sure. Yeah, you know that voice.
Every once in a while, a dad walking out after a ball game with his two or three little kids will say, "Hey, you're Rob Edwards. You're the guy who announces the batters. Can you do Ryan Braun for us?"
Ryan Braun!
I remember him telling me once that he was, like, in a mall shopping with his wife, and, like, someone came up to him and said, "Hey, you know, you should really do some type of radio. You got a really nice voice." And he was like, "Oh, thank you.
Thank you, I will."
But I thought this was cool. He said that before he would get to the ballpark, if he knew that there was a couple of new players coming up or getting called up or whatever, he would practice saying their names with, like, different cadences.
And some of them just come naturally, because the name is rhythmic.
Ricky Weeks.
In some cases, I find myself going into my shower in the morning if I've got a game coming up later in the day or in the evening and thinking, "Hey, this guy's new. How am I going to call his name?" And you kind of experiment.
Isn't that
kind of
cool, though?
Yeah.
Like, takes the craft that seriously. "Hey, I'm going to mess with this a little bit and see what I can do with this name."
I don't know how you like your PA guys. I think Rob was so good because there was a character to his voice, and like you said, you listened for his call, but
right,
he didn't, like, try to take over the game or be more than what you want your PA guy to be. So it was fun. It was always just enough, but it never sort of interfered with, like, okay, you're actually not the show here. The players are the show.
Rob Edwards passing away at the age of 79. The visitation here starts in about 20 minutes at 9 at St. Camillus there on Blue Mound in Milwaukee. Then there's a mass after that. This was in his obit, and I thought this, like, encapsulates its... I'm trying to say something, but you know what I mean.
It captures it.
Thank you. Here's what he says. "Rob was the ultimate pro, and his booming voice was familiar to multiple generations. Behind the scenes, it was his kindness, humor, and penchant for helping others in the industry that made him beloved. All in all, Rob would say he had hit a home run in life." And that is absolutely true. Our condolences to the Edwards family. Rob Edwards, gone too soon at the age of 79.
Anything else you want me to say?
I think I could come up with something.
Third baseman, Eric Bilstead.
You just made my day.
Day two of the NATO summit in Washington today, following President Biden's pledge to provide additional weapons for Ukraine in its war against Russia. Interesting, the position the president finds himself in. Right now, he is trying to talk about anything other than his fitness to not only just win re-election, but continue to hold office and govern now and over the next 4 years. At the same time, he's trying to put out fires. You have at least one or two additional Democratic lawmakers coming out now saying he should not be the Democratic nominee for president.
Mm-hmm.
It's a small number in the single digits, but it's growing. And apparently lawmakers came out of their closed-door meeting, Senate Democrats and House Democrats, yesterday, not on the same page.
And Nancy Pelosi talking like, "Oh, let's wait and see for a little bit first," which... again, keeps that in the news then, the whole topic.
Let me get you this from ABC's Perry Russum.
Biden in an all-out blitz to rally support, talking with Democratic mayors, writing a letter to congressional Democrats, calling into MSNBC, speaking with donors, and meeting with the Congressional Black Caucus, all in the last 2 days.
So on those, among those on the call of the mayor's call, it was about a couple hundred mayors from across the country who had about a 40-minute chat with President Biden. Milwaukee Mayor Cavalier Johnson, according to the New York Times, Satya Rhodes Conway, who is the mayor of Madison, was also on the call, and Racine Mayor Corey Mason on the call with the president. Mayor Mason quoted in the Times as saying, "It was understandable for a time for people to ask if everything is okay. It's 4 months out from the election, so you can't have too many of those days," referencing the debate. "But every day that passes, he's proving that he can recover from a bad debate performance." Sounds like the takeaway that Milwaukee Mayor Cavalier Johnson had as well from that call. He joined us earlier on Wisconsin's Morning News. So we talked with Milwaukee Mayor Cavalier Johnson. He said there are a couple hundred mayors on the call. And basically his takeaway was he said he saw a very strong President Biden, that he was confident in the president's ability to continue on as commander in chief. I did ask him, I said, is that the guy that you want? Like, never mind, can he win the election? But I want to focus out on, because we've talked about the horse race, we talked about the politics of it. I want to focus out on, what does next year look like if President Biden were reelected? What does the year after that look like? And I asked the mayor, is that the guy that you want to do business with? What if we, and big city mayors always do business with the White House, but, you know, what if we have a natural disaster, an emergency of some kind where we need the White House to help us right now? That's the person you want to call. And he said yes. He was confident in his ability.
Which no one should be surprised that he said yes.
Sure. But then he went into, like, the alternative is former President Trump, and he didn't like that. Well, that really wasn't my question. My question was not Biden or Trump, Biden or someone else. And he didn't take the answer there, but that's what I was getting at.
There was a moment, I'm not sure if that moment has passed already, but there was a moment when you thought maybe a different name would come about next week during the RNC, and to take the wind out of the sails of the GOP's week here in Milwaukee, do you do something then? It seems like that time is nearly passing, because it appears that the White House wants to move forward, that Democratic leadership at the moment wants to coalesce, but not quite there yet. It hasn't solidified yet.
Yeah, they do want, the White House wants to move forward.
Well, yes, they do. Yes.
The only thing that keeps this alive, no, exactly your point. The only thing that keeps this alive is if you have Democratic lawmakers, Democratic operatives who continue to keep it alive. It's only up to them as to whether or not, you know, obviously folks on the right are going to say what they're going to say,
of course,
about President Biden. That's not going to change. The only thing that will change the narrative is if these folks stop talking about it. And right now they're still talking about it. Who was the one lawmaker that came out of the closed door meeting? You know, are you on the same page? He said, we're not in the same book.
Yeah, I think that was Quigley, I believe.
So they still don't agree amongst themselves, Democrats, as to whether or not this is how they're going to move forward. But if they do, you'll hear more like what you heard from the mayor today, nope, we're good. Everything's fine. We're done talking.
Now, you know how you spin this. If you're a Democratic strategist and you make that decision to move, you know, or, you know, somehow someone decides, OK, we got to move to somebody else. You know how you spin it. You say, hey, look, we see an opportunity here. We know that this is the right time. Our friends on the right are going with that crazy guy. They know that he's crazy, and they're just following him along. They're the cowards. We're actually making a good decision here and moving on with someone else. You could spin it that way and make it work, maybe. I'm just trying to think of how you spin it if and when this were to actually happen.
I borderline don't mention it, but you can stop texting me one person texting, Trump is this, Trump is this, Trump is this, Trump is this. That's fine. It's fine. You either don't like President Trump or whatever, if you're on that side, but you have a problem. People within the Democratic Party are debating with one another as to whether or not they can move. They're having a debate that has nothing to do with President Trump, or whether or not he's the GOP nominee, or whether or not he wins this election. Yeah. It has nothing to do with him. This is an internal issue that Democrats need to resolve before they get to Chicago in a month. 8:53 on Wisconsin's Morning News.
WTMJ, W277CV, and WKTI HD2 Milwaukee. From the Annex Wealth Management Studios, this is News Radio WTMJ, a Good Karma Brand station.
WTMJ forecast sponsored by Dave Dre Camp Heating, where your comfort is their family's tradition. Some morning rain left on the radar here in southeast Wisconsin. That should be moving out, turning partly cloudy today. High of 77 degrees, low down to 65 tonight under partly cloudy skies, and made it up to 70 degrees so far. Brewers and Pirates again today at American Family Field.
Yeah.
How'd that go last night?
Oof. Here, this about sums it up. I think this was home run number 5. Listen to Lane here.
2-2. High fly ball deep right field. Mitchell not even moving. That one's headed to the second deck and gone.
When your outfielder doesn't take a step.
Mitchell not even moving.
That was gone by a long shot. What was it, 12-2 the final?
12-2 the final. That's okay. Wash your hands and move on to the next one.
Got to have some clunkers in there once in a while.
It's going to happen occasionally.
I predict the Pirates score no more than one run tonight. Right?
Right, yes.
And Pirates fans are going to be, like we've been frustrated, what the heck?
Mm-hmm. Mike, can you show some consistency?
Yes. 7:10 first pitch at American Family Field. News is sponsored by Annex Wealth Management's Money Talk. That's heard Saturdays at 10 right here on WTMJ.